When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to Bingetown TV and our coverage of HBO's Succession. It's Monday, so last night was episode 5, The Kill List. So we really get Mattson back, which was a very welcome change. I thought he killed it this episode. But before, as always, we get into the juicy, juicy Succession, Waystar Royko, Roy Adventure. Just very quick housekeeping business. Obviously, we are Bingetown TV. If this is your first time listening, or if you're still trying to kind of test running us out, I would recommend when you make your decision that you do like us, because that's the decision you'll make, that you subscribe on whenever you are listening on, whether you're watching our beautiful faces on YouTube, or you're just listening to our beautiful voices on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever the hell, every other podcast little thing that we're on. And then second note is going to be, we have a separate feed that's just Succession. So it's Succession, a Bingetown TV podcast. If you're listening on that, then I highly recommend going to our main feed, which is just Bingetown TV, and you'll see all of the episodes that we cover. And the best way to see all those episodes, better organized probably than your podcast app is going to give you, is going to be BingetownTV.com, newly renovated by the wonderful James, has tabs at the top that basically will bring you to all of our shows individually, which is much better than just mindlessly scrolling through our entire catalog. Okay, now that that's out of the way, let's get into the fun stuff, which is talking about the episode itself. So like I said, episode 5, The Kill List. And as we have done on these episodes, we don't really like to lollygag, so we'll jump right in. I am doing the executive summary this episode. So I'll begin, as always, by thanking everyone for coming. I appreciate the attention and the attendance. So, episode 5, the CE bros and their teams prepare for the trip to Norway with a quick meeting, only to be briefly interrupted by mom and dad and a new invitation from Mattson that includes the whole squad. On board the plane, Frank and Carl slap on some compression socks, Roman and Kendall death wrestle ogres, aka read documents, and Carolina and Jerry set the stage for the battle to come. Logan's Wolves versus Mattson's team of soft-ass Europeans. The Waystar crew arrives at Chairman Mattson's re-education camp, and the initial skirmish at brunch goes brutally as Hugo blabs about his dynamic metabolism, and Tom fails to impress with his tree metaphor. On the mountaintop, the Sea Bros get dominated by Mattson's unpredictability, condescending tone, and new offer that requires Daddy's crown jewel, ATN, to be folded back in. Round 2 goes just as poorly for Team Waystar, despite Greg's new intel on the kill list and Mattson's bean pole. Greg himself kicks off the disaster class by trying to one-up Tom with the economist's take on France, but instead has to be bailed out by the newly formed quad squad and gets compared to Europe's most infamous incestual family, the Habsburgs, on the way out. Excuse me, as my computer messes up everything that I was just looking at. Where was I? Okay. Negotiation part 2, Electric Boogaloo, impromptu begins as Kendall can't take a joke, and it goes so poorly that Kermit Kendall, face lit by fire and a villainous smile, recruits Romy into a new plan to tank the deal. The party concludes with Mattson and Shiv discussing how many bricks of blood is too many bricks of blood to send to an ex-lover, and an acknowledgement that the three ladies of Waystar have got the goods. Shiv starts the next day with some verbal sparring with Tom, while the Sea Bros ascend the gondola once again, but with new plans. The Scooby-Doo plan is quickly exposed, and Roman's righteous rage is finally released onto Mattson as Mattson pisses, with Roman vowing to ruin the deal no matter what, because fuck you, I hate you. Mattson's promise to go around the two quickly comes to fruition as Frank reports on a new offer that is simply too good to turn down. The good news and the kill list reveal result in champagne celebrations for most of the team, while Shiv sends Mattson a Snapchat memorializing her brother's defeat. And wow. That is episode 5.
That was good. That was a, that felt like a lot of like alliteration and like good words.
I was trying.
I had a lot of good words in it, Kyle. good words.
I guess like my iCloud is so full of data. It's so full. That sounded like the worst, weirdest humble brag ever. It's just full because I don't pay for extra space, I guess. So it always like bucks up my notes app, and I was like, holy shit, I got lost in the middle of that. But
it looked like Carrie doing her little ATN audition.
Yeah, if you could see the whole thing, my arms were flailing around under here, but thankfully I kept them out of the shot. Okay.
It's all about arms, we learned.
We can move on from the executive summary and go right into our favorite moments. So I obviously just talked a ton, so I can pass it to
I'm being tapped more arms behind the scenes. Favorite moment, which veers into quote territory, is Greg talking up the new squad, the quad, and then when he says the family, and Shiv's like, the fuck? And it just was so perfect. Good. Shiv was kind of on fire, I feel, last episode with like the zingers, but that was my favorite moment.
Yeah, that was good. Greg maybe was a little better this episode for me. I don't know. Greg is just, flop town still. But for me, the moment was Roman and Kendall deciding the tank to deal. I think in general, for a lot of things, I'm like, what do Kendall and Roman actually want? So in this sense, it was nice to have them actually talk through it. And even Roman says at one point, like, we are selling. Are we winning or losing? I can't tell. And it's nice for them to actually talk about it. It's a good brother moment, even though at that point, I also like when Kendall says, can Pinky dance? Because the whole episode, Roman was really the one looping Shiv in, like, a lot. It was really heartwarming, honestly. He just kept wanting to loop Shiv in. Kendall could take it or leave it. But I liked that when Kendall said, can Pinky dance? Roman was like, well, no, but... And I really liked that scene, even though, I mean, they end up tanking it anyway. Like, they... Did they tank it? I'm not sure. I mean, they got an amazing deal out of it. They don't want to sell to him, but... Either way, I thought it was a really good scene and it turned the episode, right? We kind of expected that was what was going to happen, that Kendall was going to get a little taste of being on top. It was 24 fucking hours and he's like, let's tank what everyone's worked so hard for. They say it themselves, 6 months of a deal. You killed my dad. It was 6 months. Let's fucking tank it. Like, it's wild, but it was still a good
movie. Well, you asked too.
Yeah.
Well, you remember when you asked, when you were like, do we think Kendall's going to tank it? Yeah, and we were like, yeah, we all agreed. Like, he's totally going to be the one to tank it, which is really funny.
Right, okay, and everyone expects them to fuck it up, but not in such an intentional way, I feel.
Yeah.
You know.
This episode was interesting because we always joke about how, like, obviously everyone on the show is a bad person, and, like, we quote-unquote like them as characters, but our squad was getting bodied around, like, in every interaction. Like, I don't want to say, like, them losing in the negotiations is, like, a favorite moment. So, to a more positive spin, I think, I love the scene of the non-Roys on the plane on the way there. Just, like, strategizing. Because, I mean, Carolina, Jesus, got, like, a lot more spotlight, I felt like, in this episode at times. And I just love Jerry's, like, speech after they're all, like, worrying. Because, like, Hugo's saying about how what the guy's, like, an ex-Winter Olympian. And then the one guy who was from Kaleidoscope. Like, the two guys that are in it, they were in Born the Floor. And in this episode, the one guy is.
Oh.
The guy who, like, puts his phone down and calls them, like, brutal motherfuckers. Is in Kaleidoscope. He's the guy that gets fired. He gets framed. I guess that's a spoiler, but whatever. But I just liked them all going, and they're like, they're kind of worried. And then Jerry steps up and is like, fuck these motherfuckers. Like, these soft ass Europeans, you know, they're drunk on fucking vacation time. Like, they don't know what it's like to be these wolves that Logan raised. And I thought that was funny, especially looking back now too, because they all got literally bodied in every interaction. But it was funny that Jerry gives them that pump up speech.
Yeah.
My honorable mention there was going to be, and I was almost going to do it with my quote as well, is, and I don't want to take anyone's quote, but
I'm gonna be mad,
like,
because you already, that Jerry quote was my quote, so I have a second quote.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I will stop. I will just stop. It's not worth it. I'll do it at the end of the quotes. How about that, if we don't get to it?
Okay,
you go then.
Okay, so I won't say the Jerry quote, but I do love her calling Logan a pathogen. It's amazing. But my quote is Shiv, and she says, let's just keep one of his old sweaters, less racist, on whether or not to keep ATN. And it's just perfectly delivered and correct. Just in general, I was like, do we want ATN? Who cares? Why do we care about ATN? Remind me, please. Only because Logan wanted it. So it was nice that when they asked Shiv, she was just like, who the fuck cares? Like, get rid of it. Whatever.
Great question, because especially with the sweater, because I was seeing it online. I don't catch this. I don't think I'm smart enough in the moment to do so. But Roman was, like, dressing like Logan and might have been wearing like a sweater kind of looked Logan-ish is what I saw online. Who knows? But that's a good point, though, because Roman obviously has the like the daddy connection. But Kendall, I don't know why Kendall wants ATN so bad.
I think he just wants to big dick Mattson. Like, you can just see him like getting there and he's like, let's put him on the table. And Mattson's like, God, no small talk. You don't know how to fucking do anything. Yeah. And Frank's trying to coach him to tell a joke. It's just, he's so aggro. And I think it's more for him, like the little evil Kermit, dark Kermit Kendall.
That's a great point.
And Roman, yeah, a lot of what I was seeing and a lot of what I feel is he just wants to do right by dad. It's like, dad, you know, and it's like, okay, we get it, but what the?
Yeah. And for us, it's like, okay, it's been fucking 2 weeks. Like, let's get over it. But I guess in universe, it's been 2 days.
When Mattson gave the new number, meaning the 187 number, and we were at 144 without ATN, I was like holding my breath. I'm like, was that a good offer? Like, how do I know how many points more should ATN be in addition to Waystar? You know, I was truly like waiting for them to cue me in because I'm like, let me know because I have no idea what kind of offer that was.
In retrospect, yeah, I was like, exactly. Wow, 187 billion.
yeah, that's what I first thought too. I was like, holy
per
shit.
Share, girl.
Yeah, you know, I'm not the math person in this house, obviously. No. Jesus. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and I was trying to think of, like, yeah, what companies in the world would even be worth that? That's so funny.
I mean, I figured pay a lot of people out, so it didn't seem that far-fetched. I don't know. I don't shares and stonks.
I can go next. So my quote is going to be a lighthearted quote, which I think might have longer implications, hopefully. For two characters that we love. So Shiv and Tom getting in their little spat and Tom's comeback of just your earlobes are thick and chewy like barnacle meat. It's just like
he like flicks her ear, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's just so ridiculous. Like she is like, your shoes are stupid or whatever. Then he's like, your ears are thick and chewy. That's
when
so good.
She starts kicking dirt on his shoes, I'm like, these two are unhinged. They don't even know how to talk to each other anymore.
No, it's so good.
Did they ever?
No, that's a great point. That just was so fun. There was a lot of good quotes in this episode, but that one for me was just like, holy fuck, that is so funny. That's an all-time Tom line.
I had a related Tom and Siobhan one where Oscar was just like, oh, Tom of Siobhan. Like, he was that's not of, like, ATN or anything. Like, yeah, it just is, again, such a good read. And then my number one quote I have was Connor, who's not, he's rarely seen, but largely heard on this episode. And he's like, I had to cancel on a room of middle-class whites in Cleveland.
I tried so hard to work him into the executive summary, and I just couldn't make the flow work because the scene was, like, so unrelated, it felt like. And I was like, I'm going to have to leave my boy out.
I do love when Will is like, don't let them make fun of you. That was really cute. It was good.
That was really good. That was really good. A backup one I had is, again, at the brunch, which is, I guess, happens probably right before that line to Tom, is Hugo with the huge plate because they sabotage him and put their food onto his plate, and then he's like, I metabolize quickly because I'm dynamic, and then he fucking basically shits on the guy for not getting a bronze medal and then turns to whoever and goes, guy's a dick. I thought that was so funny. The delivery was so good, the way he said guy's a dick.
This episode afterwards, Alex can vouch for me, I sat up and was like, that pumped me up. I was like, that felt like one of the best episodes I've seen in a while. Yeah, it was so fast. The writers wrote the hell out of this script. We're in this beautiful location again, which I love. It always heightens the episodes. And Mattson was such a good, he's like our new villain, but he's so good. He's so powerful. Like, we're watching True Blood right now, and he's a main character in that. And we just got done watching an episode of season 7, which he's in, and I'm like, he's just like feeling. I watched him last night, I watched him this morning, I watched him today. It's great. And I loved watching him absolutely big dick our boys, make every one of the Waystar people look stupid, and then seemingly like be vulnerable in front of Shiv only to get her favor. He's not actually like, he was just trying to make her be on his side so he can use her, I assume, even though it was a good episode for Shiv. Even though I think he was playing her a little bit, I do think that as far as Shiv episodes go in season four, this was a good one for her because she's been really devolving. And I think this was good. And I think we can decide right now on this podcast, was Shiv drinking?
Or doing blow?
I would say
I don't
no.
think she did blow. How about that?
I think she was just putting it up to her lips, like maybe some, like just to, for a show. But I think you're right. Because until Alex was like, she's pregnant, I was like, what is she doing?
I don't think we think Shiv was drinking, but I had a moment drinking. Of pause and it made you think, wait, what?
Well, I just forgot she was pregnant in general.
Yeah. And at risk of saying something that I just said, because we're having some technical difficulties, I was quite blindsided by the blood brick and not really focusing on whether she was actually drinking or not. I was just considering the level of insanity that Madsen's working with over there on the couch.
He's really out there, huh? I think it's part fucking with people and then part he's a bit of a mess too. And like, how does that actually play in somewhere like America is a valid thing, I think, for Shiv to say. And for me, if we're talking stocks and Shiv, I think this is the best she's looked in a while. He could easily play her, right? I think he's playing everyone to some level. He was Logan as well, but I think he sees more Logan in her. He even said so, basically. And I think she's not aware of what her brothers are doing, so she's not overtly trying to fuck them, I don't think. And I think it could net out okay for her. Just we'll have to see. I mean, she may have to endure some blood bricks, but what does Shiv care?
That's a good point too about her. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, does she know that they were actually trying to tank the deal?
I feel like not to the degree they were. You know.
That's true. I mean, she's always said, does have her finger on the pulse of like the news stuff. Like she brought up the Kendall feeding the news anti-Logan stuff low-key, kind of somewhat confronted him about him, not actually, but a little bit. And I feel like one of the things Madsen said that he knew they were trying to tank the deal was the negative press that was coming out. And I feel like she would have known about that. And I feel like she, that's I guess the tough thing about the show. And like I had sent that text message and we kind of agreed of there's so much reading into like sarcasm and people lying and just looks that like you're trying to understand what they're thinking and what they actually feel about certain things. So the look that she gave at the end of the episode felt like she knew she was getting one up on the two
of them. a knowing glance. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she's happy to be in, right? If they're not going to keep her all the way in, whether they're tanking a deal or not, she's always going to have an iron in a few fires, I think, because she's the least trusting of that. Of the CE bros, and I don't blame her, I think.
Yeah, no, not at all.
You know, it's interesting on the ATN front as well. They said that Shiv, again, finger on the pulse, is like, Mencken has a line straight to ATN, like, that's not okay. And the boys are like, yeah, we'll figure it out later type of deal, but that is bad. And a lot of this stuff is like, the business of it all goes right over my head. And I mean, Shiv later does say like, we're getting rid of Sid. She's fucking up. And in a surprise twist, Tom thinks when she's talking about shakeups, she's going to talk about him. But even in the tanking of it all, Madsen sees right through the boys. The boys couldn't get a single, they talk a strategy. They're like, we got to make sure that he thinks it's his idea. We got to be sneaky. We got to make him walk away. And he's like, you Scooby-Dooing ass bitches. What's going on?
The Hanna-Barbera school for business.
Like, exactly. That's just, although I will say with Madsen, I feel like compared to Kendall and Roman, he obviously comes across like he's just like dominating them completely in all of the conversations and such. But I just saw some interesting comparisons online of he is acting kind of the same way that Kendall was acting in season one with the Valter deal of like, it just gets to a point where he's like, I'm just going to say a number so big that you literally cannot say no to it. And I mean, we kind of know that ATN is a little bit of a, I guess we don't know whether like the health of it as a business kind of thing. But I mean, they do make like you, we brought up, but you just said, Alex, of the whole like Madsen's fit within US media. And I don't think I would be so shocked if the deal turns out negative for him at all. You know what I mean? Like the way that Valter kind of just blew up. It doesn't seem, I mean, like, I again, like Kathleen said, the Vista stuff kind of goes over my head a lot, but like, are they still in a ton of debt? Or did Stewie
because Stewie and
Sandy,
them,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, they bought it up or whatever.
I think ATN, they keep saying it's like the only profitable thing, sort of, yeah. Or it is like the least overhead, like best bang for your buck, is seemingly it. And
although,
obviously the political aspect of having kind of a say in steering it.
Yeah, although we did get that math lesson, right, in episode one or two of it. It's 40 more than 15 pounds.
So, good head for numbers.
Yes, that was a good impression.
Thank
you. That was good.
And what so Roman say in that episode just to Nan Pierce? He was throwing around
comes
some.
It's after nine. Oh, 9B? Yeah. Yeah,
we got a lot of math lessons.
Yeah, so, but I don't think that there's any goal. I don't think the goal is going to be to show that Mattson is like a great businessman. I think it could very well be that, like, this is also a bad business deal for him. And it's kind of the idea that they're all just fucking assholes.
He started seeming like overly eager about it to me. Something was like, he was going like kind of Logan, like, I need this to go. Like when Logan was like that with Pierce back before the Stewie and Sandy's of it all, he seemed a little like intense. Like, this needs to happen. Like, I need this to happen. So yeah, I wonder what that means. What has he been up to that this has to happen for him?
That, and this is something we brought up last night, Kyle, do the CE bros and Shiv need this deal to go through in order to buy Pierce?
That's okay.
Can they buy Pierce with it? And aren't they on the hook for Pierce, or do they just say, never mind, can't pay for it, sorry?
Yeah.
Something they already charged on their credit card and they have to figure it out.
No, I think they started probably terms and stuff, but. And finding other backers is what it seemed like. That guy, I forget his name already, who was kind of helped
short-lived.
Their strategist who was
I forgot. I know what he looks like, but I don't remember what his name was.
Yeah, but I
guess I could easily see like them in the moment not even considering the Pierce aspect of it when they're like, we're going to tank the deal.
Well, yeah, but I also think they needed ATN to bring Pierce and kind of steal their dad's vision was the sort of whole thing. And so I think either way, it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I think
Shiv wants Pierce the most.
Yeah. She wants to get the fuck away from Fox Media.
She cares about, getting into that like lane of news quality. I feel like Kendall wanted Pierce because it was anti-Logan and Roman kind of got dragged along.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's actually a good aspect. I wonder what will happen now.
While we're talking Shiv, let's just finish out with like Shiv and Tom in general. Yep. So wait, Shiv, do we think stocks are up or down? Because she's been a steady decline, I think, for the first four episodes. I think nowhere but up at this point.
I would say it feels up. She also runs that same line with Kendall almost, where in last episode when he gets the CEO, it was like, okay, on the face, what a boon. Like, we're out here. But you know, real Kendall fans know that that's actually probably the most dangerous position for him to be in.
Yeah.
And I feel like an overly confident Shiv is just a recipe for disaster because, like, is she actually in the position she thinks she's in, or is there a lot more strings attached to where she's at and how she got there?
Yeah, she's in the good spot of finding her groove, getting let in, and she shines there. But the second it feels something's promised or she gets too comfy, it's going to get ugly again, probably.
Yeah.
This feels like the first episode they weren't openly humiliating her for some reason. Like, maybe it was just because of that fall last episode was so brutal. I don't think she was being cringy or humiliating the previous episodes, but there's a lot of things that were making me go, But this was the first episode where at least she was like grooving. Like Alex said, she had some good one-liners. Hopefully she wasn't drinking. I really don't think she was.
No, I think she had to pretend, right? No one's supposed to know.
Yeah, but she was like bricked up after that conversation with Mattson enough to be like, let's get dinner, Tom. Let's see what this is about
really
again.
Well, that's also true thinking of when if you could watch a cut of the episode that was just Mattson interactions with boys followed by all Mattson interactions with Shiv, like Shiv would come out like a superstar because she can handle his weirdness and like the eccentricity, I guess is the word I could potentially be looking for, in that like he says, she can take a joke, she can punch back well, she understands kind of how to maneuver in that conversation. Like Kendall and Roman, like, could not, like, almost get out from under their own feet in, like, starting the conversation and responding to anything. Like, it was honestly a mess.
I think he brings, like, an entirely different energy to the Shiv combos. Like, I think I'm just going to go on a limb and say he probably treats women differently. And I don't mean in a disrespectful way, but I think he doesn't feel a threat. Sure. He doesn't feel like he has the big dick. I think he underestimates them, right? Because then Shiv's giving, like, Jerry and Carolina cosigns and he doesn't question it. It's his girl, who I'm already forgetting, Ebba. Like, he's doing crazy things. Like, I think it's sort of that Logan mentality of, like, women are a bit of a weakness or a blind spot where you underestimate them and let them close and maybe they can play you after all. So I think we'll see.
I mean, his two things were when Shiv walks up, he's like, should I hug you or is this going to be a lawsuit or whatever? And then he calls Ebba an estrogen
air freshener.
And she's like, yeah, if they ever fire me, they're done. I have receipts and receipts in gallons and liters of blood
and blood.
So I guess that's a good question that I have is, so obviously Carolina is our superstar head of comms. Ebba is his head of comms, but Carolina wasn't on the kill list, presumably because Shiv talks positively about her in that interaction at night. Obviously, it's just an assumption, like jumping to that maybe Ebba was fired. But do you think that he fired Ebba?
No, to me, it's like, who are they going to keep on four-way star ATN? You know, I don't think that everyone who's working at his current company, Gojo, is going to now just take on extra accounts. They could move over and maybe transfer and do different things, but I think they still need some people to run. But I think Mattson's probably like, I mean, look at all these, like, the nepotism conversations they were having. He was like, Jesus Christ, I saw a TikTok of the translation of what they were talking about in Swedish. And it was basically just like, Jesus Christ, like, there's 1,000 of them and they're suckers. You know, I don't know the translation. I only watched it once, but it was just more of the same. So I think that it's just keep the competent people. But like they said, the last company they acquired, 10% retention, probably the same type of deal, only the legitimate people. Cause someone like Mattson would rather start fresh because he's not Logan and those people are just, you know, cousins and stuff.
Yeah. I think on any merger acquisition, you keep on a lot of people for the beginning to help understand what the fuck is going on at the part shop before you start, you know, making cuts. So
when he calls Kendall and Roman the tribute band, that was a 10 out of 10 insult because, man, are they not a tribute band? Whoever wrote that line.
Yeah, that is the insult for them. It's like beautiful. Yeah.
Pat yourself on the back.
It's funny. He just comes to the table ready to piss those two off. And he knows exactly how. I mean, Roman is very easy, especially because I think his grief is coming out that way. And he's so sensitive. He's like, Roman's revenge. That's the thing he's on. But he doesn't even say anything mean about Logan to Shiv. So he knows how to, like, work these people. Absolutely.
Logan as a way to compliment Shiv.
Yeah. So it's very interesting to see that as well. Meanwhile, he just absolutely shits on his whole legacy on top of the mountain and pisses on it, too.
I mean, so what do we think about very quickly before it sounds like we can move on to the Steve Bros, the other heavy hitters of the episode, but Shiv and Tom dinner.
I can't wait to see it. I mean, Tom didn't say yes. Tom was like, well, and of course she took a call in the middle of it, but I'm excited to see it. I don't know where it's going. I think Shiv stock up, Tom stock down. He's not on the kill list, but
he's on the kill list. Sid's on the out. Roman, they did admit that he is doing well running ATN. They were just going to fire him if Shiv wanted to, and she said no to that. So Tom's...
Yeah, I guess just for the episode, I mean, him being so cringy to Mattson is what comes to the forefront of my mind. But I guess you're right. I guess he is.
I'd say he's safe. It's stable. It's tapered down since Logan died a little bit.
Yeah.
Shaky.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like his relationship, if he actually is in love with Shiv, the signs are there for, like, it feels better than it did 3 episodes ago, even last episode. So, Tommy boy, who can say?
Endgame.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm in. You know I'm in. We're all in. All right. So we can move into just do Kendall and Roman kind of together. I love the combo of the two of them, but they're just so bad at doing their job.
Like, they fumble their way into five extra points and everyone is really cheering them on at the end. Like, undeniable. 192 is undeniable. So and good. They're like, fuck.
Sure is.
Yeah. Like, one of the last scenes I watched before we got on this was Kermit Kendall kind of convincing Roman. And he's like, it's fucking feel the force time. Like, we gotta. Then it's just like a bunch of nonsense phrases about, like, them and the future of the company. And it's like, he is such an idiot most of the time. It's like so crazy. Like you said earlier, Alex, you don't know what they want. Like, even Mattson says, like, you, like, just tell me what you guys want. You guys don't have any idea, like, what you want. So how can we have a negotiation? They're just so bad at it. And the fact that it took Kendall getting upset to be like, you know, we're good at this shit. Like, we should just do it forever. Like, it should be the two of us. And it's like, oh my God, fellas.
24 hours since they've been appointed.
Yes. Like, literally nothing has changed.
Burn bright, don't fade away. Kendall's Kendall's motto.
Literally, yeah. Kendall did the smear campaign against his dad. Shiv brought it up. And he kind of said, Hugo, like, go get rat fucker Sam and whatever. But it was him, obviously. I think that's not the end of that. I think that may come back. If it doesn't, I'd be shocked. They made it seem like that was going to be a big thing. But in general, in the first scene, when Kendall walks into that, like, from the Jay-Z song, and he goes in, gets the applause, he goes in, and him and Roman do a handshake, dap each other up, and they talk. I'm like, these two look legit. Yeah. I was in. I'm like, they can run a company. And then they slowly kind of devolve. But it was a joy to watch them, even if they were fucking up. They're like my two favorite fuck ups in the world, especially when they're in it together. Like, when Roman starts losing it on Mattson and Kendall just kind of lets it happen, and then later he's like, it could play, man. It could play. It could play. What we want it.
It could play. I love that.
They come from such different angles of it, but end up on the same fucked up wavelength about like this. Definitely operating from ego and or emotion, I feel, is like the whole thing. Roman more emotion, Kendall more like ego in his dark Kermit. Yeah.
For sure. I felt too, I guess, in the original negotiation and then the one that happens outside that's fairly impromptu. It felt like that Roman was almost like letting Kendall like take all of the hits. I felt like Mattson was talking directly to Kendall about all the negative things and he wasn't doing so towards Roman. But then I guess at the end of the episode, when Roman finally blows up, it kind of is like Roman is there just absorbing all of it and getting more and more and more and more upset until he finally loses it himself. Because when it's like outside and they're talking about like the tribute band and the talking about like the brand's terrible and it's a part shop and stuff, and Kendall's getting pissed. And then Shiv is someone that actually chimes up and kind of steps in and somewhat not diffuses it, but takes a little bit of the weight off of Kendall having to respond to every single comment. And that kind of struck me until Roman blows up. And I was like, okay, that's our Roman. Like you said, a little bit sensitive, emotional, just kind of was letting it build up until he blew up.
I mean, Roman was saying what we're all thinking. That episode 3 was really emotional, but their relationship is so fucked up. I think we're kind of already forgetting that literally 2 or 3 days ago, their dad died. And when he says, you couldn't wait a few extra days. You couldn't wait a week. Like, you had to fucking do it now.
Yeah.
I to be honest, I had forgotten because I was just so hyped to be here. Yeah, and then I'm like, yeah, fuck this guy for doing that. Like, he does it on purpose. It was calculated. I don't blame Roman for blowing up. And when he says, I fucking hate you, and Lucas is like, you just fucked yourself. Like, there, it was an acting class. Like, yeah. Kieran Culkin, it's confirmed he is going to be Emmy nommed he's definitely going to be nominated, but for your consideration as lead actor, which is well earned. I mean, him and Kendall are both, they're lead actors. They're not supporting actors. They are the lead. So I'm just so like happy for Kieran Culkin because he's excellent. And I think he's been so excellent this season. But that scene was phenomenal. And then I was really shocked by Lucas just being like, okay, then 192. I mean, good for him. That is the ultimate big dick energy move to be like, I thought when he said you're fucked, I didn't think he was going to tank it, but I thought Lucas was going to really do something
bad. I think there's still plenty of time. I think when Roman was like, we're never going to sell to you, he's like, yeah, now watch. I mean, he might do what Kendall did to Walter and just fucking turn it inside out and run it over with a truck, you know?
I mean, do we watch previews? I didn't, obviously. But
I didn't. Oh, yeah, okay. We did last night. We did.
Yeah. I'm just curious if, I obviously Forget a very it. Easy low-hanging fruit storyline is them trying to maneuver to still kill the deal, even though it's would be essentially illegal and a terrible idea, but I could easily see them. I just don't see them accepting defeat so easily.
I cannot remember this fucking preview. I want to say it's alluding to it being his funeral, finally. Like, some event was being figured out. Some
I'm excited for that right now. I think 2 episodes from now is going to be like the election stuff.
Probably.
I think the episode's called America Decides.
And it is confirmed, Tyler, friend of the pod, Tyler, has been texting me as he listens. It's confirmed that every episode is one day. So the span of this is only a week and a half, which is crazy. What a week and a half for the fam. So
the Shiv baby thing is just going to be as like a dramaturgical device to about him and her and Tom's relationship. Like, we won't actually get the child.
I can't wait till she tells Tom, though. That's going to be a good ass scene. His head's going to fall off. He's going to be so excited to be a dad.
It's going to. Okay. That's a good one. Yeah. I can't wait for that. Anything else on Ken and Rome?
Where do we think?
Up or down?
Oh, it's so tough. I they have so much more money now, and they have reputationally, they've quote unquote secured this deal despite their best efforts to not do so. So it's kind of like the arrow's pointing up in terms of like how they look on the outside. But I feel like inside, their arrows are so down.
Yes, so correct.
They're a tough eval, I think.
But where's the money coming, baby? On the outside. Let's go.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
As a Kendall girl, I got the money.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess, if this was like an actual market, like we would see them getting all that money. And I'm sure our individual shares would go way up.
I was just going to pivot it to Jerry. Just because I thought she had a great episode. She didn't like humiliate herself like everyone else did. And just the henchmen in general, like being so like wanting to help and the kids not taking any of their help. And then at the end, when they're talking through the kill list and Frank's like, well, it's all speculation. And Carl's like, whatever Carl says, he's like, let the party roll or whatever.
The good times roll.
Yeah. Let the party roll. That's what people say. Let the party roll. but it was so good. Like, I love those three. I love when they said mom and dad, food in the fridge. Like, they're perfect. Yeah. Who needs Logan when you've got those parents? It's so good. But I think Jerry's stock is up. I just wanted to say that because I feel like Jerry's stock was trending down when Logan was alive. And now it's way up. One little endorsement from Shiv, and she is she's all up. So I'm good. And Carolina.
I feel like Carolina and Jerry, objectively, when you hear that the transition of the company is going to be one towards a meritocracy, I feel like automatically that puts Carolina and Jerry on a higher pedestal because they are like pretty much the only two. It feels like that have been shown to be genuinely competent at their job consistently.
Yep. So, oh, and Jess. Jess is back.
Yes. Yes, that was going to be my quote was going to be the great job, guys. When she like they all have like the big moment, and then it's like way more personal that she like waits for it to die down, and then she turns and is like, great job, guys. Like she felt that like that was such a nice moment, especially for us who we've been begging for Jess to come back. So that one like made me smile ear to ear.
And she helped get the kill list right with Greg. True. I feel like they're doing some detective work, some Nancy Drew.
It just makes me laugh because again, Kendall's like, I need like a 500 foot screen and the raw footage of
And she makes Snyder a cut.
Yep. She sure does. Everyone watching it and falling asleep is so funny. And it was interesting because I feel like this is the first time we're actually, besides thinking about parks, like the sexual assault at the parks, this is the first time we're getting actual like content of what they do, like the news and whatever. But this feels like out of left field, the movies, like we knew they did movies, but this is like maybe the first time they actually mentioned details of this big blockbuster they have coming out.
Besides the turkey one that Roman didn't do.
that was a great storyline.
Yeah, true. But it felt new. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it's just nice. I guess it's them actually being involved in the company.
They have to actually know what the fuck is going on, where like hundreds of millions of dollars are going in reshoots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love the shot of Carl and Frank, to continue with the kind of henchmen of Carl and Frank outside the sauna, just, you know, legs crossed, knowing that golden parachute's coming, just like, you know, and they even have a line where it's like they're talking to the people in the sauna, and they're like, they're in there in the window, like, fucking Peking duck.
I would have bet money that would have been your quote.
I love me some fucking Carl, and I really thought about it, but I had to go Jerry, because Jerry's was like, yeah, pump me up.
It was good.
It was a battle cry.
This whole episode pumped me up. In a time where it was hard to pump me up, I was like, let's fucking go. It felt that it was so dialogue heavy. And I really love when the writers are just in their bag writing an excellent. And that setting, I can't say it enough.
Oh my God.
That location, gorgeous. And Mattson's on top being like, whatever the fuck, like who cares about this? Whatever. This guy is sick.
Have you ever seen the movie Ex Machina?
I saw a TikTok saying it was in the same house,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's the same house, yeah.
That's a house? I thought it was like a ski resort. Either way, it's epic.
One of the buildings on the compound was in the movie Ex Machina. Yeah. This is a better way to say.
Yeah, I just was going to say it was like a return to form, like opening up with Kendall going to work and blasting the old school hip hop, and then the amazing location that we'll never see in our entire fucking lives off of a screen. Like, it just felt like very much paying homage to the whole vibe of the show.
Yeah. I also really like the audacity to have them have to come all the way to the top of the mountain, that slow-mo ski lift thing to get them up top.
It's like Negotiation 101.
Yep. The intimidation factor, like, you're coming up to me. We're in this like isolated location at the top of the mountain. Like, it's phenomenal.
Your dad's on ice, like, just layering the fucks he can't give, and like the hurdles they have to go through just for him to literally spit in their face some more. He's a master at it.
It makes you so mad that it's like, this guy has this much money, this one guy, this douchebag who is honestly depressed. He's not happy.
Yeah, he has
he's
a lot just, of his own issues.
He really does. I mean, think about in previous, like in the first episode, we meet him at Kendall's birthday party. He is like down. The only thing that makes him happy is peeing on Roman's phone.
That's so funny.
The only thing that can make him smile.
Everything's boring to him, you know? Same with Logan. It's like you lose the plot on life when you're that rich and you think you've seen it all or experienced it all, or that you could. So it doesn't even interest you at that point. He's another Logan in that way.
The fact of him being on a mountain does nothing for him is insane.
That place is incredible. They're so lucky they get to shoot there. No wonder they're all crying so much. True. Miss each other, miss the locations, miss the experiences. Like, this show has taken them to so many cool places.
You're getting billionaire experiences while getting paid to film and do like a career that most people would like kill for, you know?
Yeah.
I'm so sad this is ending.
We got some time.
We have a season.
I have two parting shots. So my first parting shot is going to be that if this is the beginning of the end for Hugo, what a fucking Hugo episode. This was low-key, like, almost his episode. He was so good in this episode. When he's talking to the guy and he's like, I heard he like had a shot at third place and ended up fourth. Like, he's a choker. Like, he had so much personality in this episode. It was great. So he's obviously on the kill list, so we'll see how he sticks around, if they're able to, because I don't like that none of them have any allegiance to him, so he's kind of just dust floating in the wind at this point. All he has to hang his hat on is that super fast metabolism. And then number two is that scene with Greg and bringing up the Economist, I think, is the number one cringiest scene of the entire show. I literally did not watch it on my second watch. I skipped through it. I could not. It's just, he does something to me now, and that scene was horrific.
I said to Alex, I really thought Greg was about to pull out some genius when he started talking, because Tom was flopping, and I thought Greg actually was going to know something about something, and Matt was going to be like, huh, but nope, double flop, really belly flopped all around town. Bad stuff.
Can we reflect on how they were literally like, will France make it? Like, that's such a fucking jab at a whole country.
And it's just such a douchey thing to be talking about. Like, if I walked up to a conversation and they're like, will France make it? I'd be like, go fuck yourself.
I did read it. And I feel like, again, part of the beauty of the show is that like it's really open to interpretation. Obviously, you can read into thoughts, words, looks, however you want. And I saw a lot of talk about Tom like doing well in that, like showing like the mindset that he has, like doesn't care if France itself survives. It's more of like from the business perspective of US media, which is what Mattson is buying at this retreat. There doesn't fucking matter what happens in France. Like the US residents don't give a shit. Like that's kind of how it is. So I would have never thought about that myself, but
playing up that he knows the audience and that just playing that like dumb American card that I feel like, yeah. You know, Tom likes to kind of endear himself to people by sort of beating them to the punch. And he did that well there as well.
Yeah. There was actually the one when Greg, I guess, kind of fumbles through everything and I almost poked my eyeballs out. They say like, who are you? When they ask him who he is, and Greg's response is therein lies a tale is genuinely hilarious. Like that is a perfect Greg response. That's a great Greg line. He has been really bad lately, especially, yeah. But that line made me laugh out loud. Therein
he's like Greg
tale.
Hirsch, Ori, Greg, Ori, Hirsch.
I know. I was like, what is Ori and Gregory?
Oh, God. He is so dumb.
Those were peak Greg moments that sprinkled with some of the cringiest hell.
Yeah. The Norwegian wood line was pretty good as well. He's such a cocksmack.
We have to say, like, we can only hope that somewhere out there, Mattson is out there listening to Bingetown TV with his headphones on, getting absolutely fucked by some girl.
Oh, yeah.
Slide and he's not actually paying attention. He's just listening to Bingetown TV. And for that, Mattson, we thank you.
Yeah. What a absolutely terrific tidbit to end this episode on. And a picture to leave in every listener's mind out there. And maybe an idea for every listener out there. Who's to say? I'm not going to suggest or deny any of that. So that is what? Episode 5. So we're officially halfway, or over halfway, I guess, technically speaking. For season 4 of HBO's Succession, this episode was titled The Kill List. It totally lived up to that name, the hype, everything. This was a fantastic episode of Succession. Hopefully, they're only going to get better from here on out. It's going to be hard to touch 3, but I have high hopes for the rest of the season for sure. Once again, as I said at the top of the hour, at the top of the episode, if you want to support us, best way is just subscribe. Whatever you're listening on, whatever you're watching on, just click that subscribe button wherever it is. And then go to bingetowntv.com for super easy access to all of our episodes if you're interested in other things we're doing. I mean, we're doing what? Yellow Jackets season 2 has been fantastic, and our coverage of it has been equally fantastic. The Mandalorian season 3 now? I'm not a Star Wars guy, so I'm tough. Okay, season 3 of The Mandalorian.
Really,
we just actually put out, The Last Kingdom, 7 Kings Must Die, correct? Yeah, Must Die. That movie just came out. We just recorded our episode on it. It's out on YouTube and for your ears only. What's that, audio? That is what audio is.
That would be audio, yeah.
Yeah, that's audio. And before I say something else stupid, I'm just going to wrap this episode up. So we are Bingetown TV, and thank you for listening.
And fuck off.
And fuck the fuck off.
We did it.
Somehow.
Internet connection be damned.
Yeah, that was good.
We overcame.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.